Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And I come to encourage you on today, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Yes, you. You and you, let us exalt his name on today. Truly, I'm so glad that you have joined me on today. I would like you just to come right on in and make yourself right at home. I have another wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guest that's going to be with us, that is here with us on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you, yes, you and you, are going to be tremendously blessed on today. On today, I have Pastor Dana McClinton all the way from Seattle, Washington, is our special guest on today. And I'm going to read his bio and just share with you, children of God, some of the things and wonderful things that he's done and is doing. And then we're going to bring him right on and just talk with Pastor McClinton. And let me read his bio. And it reads on this line, Pastor McClinton. Dana McClinton was born March the 1st in 1967 to the union of Reverend Walter McClinton and Sister Jeanette McClinton in Los Angeles, California. Pastor McClinton confessed Christ at the age of 12. He was baptized in Bethel Missionary Baptist Church in Pasadena, California. He accepted his call to the ministry at the age of 18 and preached his first message at the Chapel Grove Baptist Church on December 29, 1985, entitled After Salvation, Then What? Pastor McClinton began his education in California after graduation from Pasadena High School in 1985. He pursued a career in the U.S. Army, Navy. He majored in mess management and supervised the preparation of food abroad, a personnel carrier of 5,000 officer and enlisted personnel. He also served as a ward attendant for 700 Navy officers before receiving an honorable discharge in September 1989. Pastor McClinton has traveled to the world to Thailand, Singapore, Hong Kong, and Hawaii. While in the Navy, Pastor McClinton was stationed in Bremerton, Washington, which led him to Seattle in the spring of 1987. He immediately started searching for a church home. Pastor McClinton comfortably settled into Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church up under the leadership, spiritual leadership of Dr. Robert L. Manaway. He swiftly grew and became an instructor for the new converts and the Christian character classes, an assistant in ordinance of the churches. He gave spiritual counseling as needed and became pastoral assistant to Reverend Manaway. He also performed all duties as a minister in the absence of Pastor Manaway, and Pastor McClinton continued his education by attending classes, conferences, and seminars. In November 1991, Pastor McClinton became an ordained minister under Pastor Manaway. While Pastor McClinton was busy preaching the gospel at Tabernacle, Greater New Bethel was seeking a spirit-filled gospel preacher to lead them. In June 1996, Greater New Bethlehem prayed together on one accord for a pastor, and the Lord laid it upon their heart to petition Pastor McClinton. He gladly accepted the proposal on December the 1st, 1996, Pastor McClinton became the pastor of Greater New Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, and the Greater New Bethel has since been a more spirit-filled church, growing tremendously in love, spiritual development, and numbers. Pastor McClendon sanctioned vision and objective is to strive to have a Bible-regulated, Christ-centered, and a prayer-minded church. Pastor McClendon is married to the lovely minister, Tanti McClendon. And I hope I didn't tear up or mess her name up bad, Pastor McClendon. And so at this time, we're going to just welcome Pastor McClendon. Welcome to home.
Hello, hello. It's good to be a part of this broadcast, and I'm glad to be aboard.
Amen. Well, we welcome and we are excited about what God is doing in and through your life there at the Greater New Bethel Church there in Seattle, Washington. And as you can see from your bio, you've just been busy doing the work of the Lord for all of your life and things.
Yeah, practically, yeah. I started, in the ministry at 18 years old. And so from there, it's just been growing ever since.
Good, good, good. And looking at how God has just so strategically via the Navy positioned you into a place where it would be a place where he's called and ordained for you to be to do even greater ministry and touch the lives of so many people here in the Pacific Northwest District area and things. And it's just been just great just hearing of some of the great things that you are doing. And things. Did you want to just share in your heart some of your passion and things about ministry, that things that you feel the call or what God is doing right now for you in ministry, if you'd like to share something with the Radio Land?
Okay. It's funny how I got here. I got here in late 87, but I got here through, I got hurt in the military. I was in Norfolk, Virginia. And I got hurt while I was cleaning up. And so they had to send me to another base. And so I got here by being hurt.
My. Divine.
So God knows how to, put things in your life. Even when you get hurt, all things still work together for good. And so my passion is always to preach Christ and to make sure that Christ is he's lifted, and I just love to grow people. That's the kind of focus where my church is going now. We've been talking with a lot of leaders and trying to strategize our vision for the next 5 years, and so we're going to be focusing on reaching people, growing people, and transforming lives. And so I'm excited about what God will do in me and through me. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to lead us and guide us as we serve in the Pacific Northwest.
Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. And I really appreciate what you're saying, a part of your vision for even for the next 5 years of how reaching people and growing people and making that impact in their lives and things and lifting up Christ. And that is so the need and things for the body of Christ and for this time and season. I believe the harvest is ready and things, and God is calling us as never before to get forth and to go and find the lost sheep of the house of Israel and things, and to reach their hearts and reach their mind and things. I appreciate also one of the other things that you did say too, also Pastor McClendon, is that it was through getting hurt how that God strategically used that incident or that to propel you to the place of a blessing or a divine place where God has called you to lead his people. And and could you speak to the people too? Because sometimes we think of our hurt sometimes can be so devastating or we wonder why are we in this, why did this happen? But your testimony is just so beautiful, and there may be perhaps somebody out there that's find themselves in a hurt situation and moaning that thing, but it could be a tremendous blessing in it.
Oh, definitely. I've learned that God usually takes our hurts and makes it into a healing situation for you and the place where you serve. And so I believe that God has purpose for where he plants you, no matter how you got there. And so those who may be experiencing setbacks or hurts, we just have to realize that a failure sometimes is simply an experience that teaches you to success. But we have to realize that God's timing is not our timing, and we just have to fix our eyes on him, knowing that he knows what he's doing, even when we think he doesn't know what he's doing. And so I always just look to him and realize that, you know, whatever situations that goes in my life is for a purpose, is for a reason. And so I just encourage those out in radio land that no matter what season you're in, realize that there will be fruit, there will be glory after this if you just, you know, leave it in God's hand and let him be in control, you know, of life situations. So that's why something I love about God, that he does things sometimes we don't know what he's doing, but he does it so that we can be more like him and follow his lead, because we just know what's up to the corner. But
right.
God,
yes,
he knows what's around the corner. And so I just encourage those that no matter what hurt, no matter what circumstance, God can use that circumstance and turn it into something great. Because I never would have thought I would be, you know, in Seattle. I never heard of Seattle when they told me about it. But here I am, you know, since 1987, and I'm just blossoming where God has planted.
Mm-hmm. And I really, yes, and that's so wonderful, Pastor. And what you shared, you said whatever the situation is, there's a purpose and there's a reason and there is a season for that. And then you also said that there's fruit. And I wonder if we could focus in on that for just a moment, because I believe sometime in our trials and the vicissitudes of life and things that we find ourselves, even as the children of God, go through, I think sometimes we forget that whatever you find yourself in, where you're going through right now, there is some fruit God is birthing out of you or that situation for you to bear. And with you saying that, I think that is just so profound, because sometimes we forget about the fruit.
Yeah, that's true. Now, before you get the fruit, you must, there's root first, so you have to be rooted, and you cannot get the fruit without the root. I always tell people to be rooted and steadfast in God, and in due season, as the scripture says, you know, we're going to reap if we faint not. There's going to be fruit. God knows how to get the most from where you are. We may not see it at the moment, but God knows how to get the most from where you are in your situation. So I tell people, don't waste your pain, because that pain can turn into gain and can be a testimony to somebody else to help them get over or get through their situation. So, you know, just hold on. You know, there will be fruit. He promised that. And so, just keep on pressing.
Yeah, that's so true. And also, Pastor, I really do Pastor McClinton, I really appreciate you sharing that and things and elaborating, because, too, you brought us back to another process before you could even get to the fruit. And I really appreciate you bringing us back or focusing back that there have to be roots without, you know, you can't get the fruit without roots being rooted and being steadfast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because especially since we're living in a time in which where it is apostasy state that is going on, where people say, well, it don't take all that anymore. I can serve God, just stay at home and stay or serve God or not be engaged. But God has already fixed it that in order for our fruit to be remain, he has some guidelines for us and some things that he told us not to forsake ourselves assembling together, even more so even as we see the day approaching. And,
yes.
And so, yes, I really appreciate you sharing that about the root and things and being steadfast and things, because it just seemed like it. I don't know about for you, Pastor, if you want to elaborate and think you just stirred something in my spirit here.
Uh-huh.
For the Lord or not being steadfast there. And I don't really believe that they understand that the principles or the word of the Lord as he tells us to be steadfast. And you said something just a few minutes ago that was so profound in things is to bloom almost in essence where you've been planted and things or bloom. Can you elaborate? Because it could be someone out in the radio land and find themselves saying, well, it really don't take all that and things like that. But could you elaborate on that aspect of blooming where God has planted you at?
Yeah, I believe that God has a place for each of us, no matter where that place is. And sometimes we may not like the place where he has placed us. But if we're really going to mature and maximize where we are, I believe that we have to get them. Again, God will get the most out of us where we are. It is going to take us being fully relying on God and not take God or the situation for granted, because just because you're in a particular place or a particular season doesn't mean that you are not going to, you know, blossom there. But I believe that wherever you are looking to God, you can find a testimony even within that test in that particular situation you find yourself in. So again, I believe that God has a purpose for where he plants you. We have to embrace that place and embrace that purpose and just give God the glory.
Yes, exactly. And thank you ever so much, Dean. And then you also said that, you know, don't waste your pain because it's going to turn into your gain.
Yeah.
And that how that thing that you've gone through or going through and thing is going to be able to help someone. And what came to my mind is where the scriptures say that we die daily, that we die, that you might live or someone else may live. And so sometimes they don't recognize or sometimes it's hard to fathom that, you know, I'm in all of this pain, but out of my pain, somebody is gaining from this or will gain from the pain that I've gone through.
That's so true. And the challenges that we come against are the challenges that come in our lives, I believe, are only a part of God's planning process.
Mm-hmm.
When those challenges come, you know, I've been pastoring over about 16 years now, and I know the challenges that come with that, but it was, you know, God uses that to use me in that situation to plant me, because he put me there for a reason, so that I can continue to grow the people through the word of God and let them know that God is still on the throne no matter what comes your way.
Yes. Now, and I appreciate you sharing that and things. And it sounds like in things, too, could you elaborate on the relevancy of focus in the life of God's people, even right now, how focus is going to be so key.
Yeah, I believe the focus is one of my favorite scriptures is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," or seek his dominion, or seek his rulership. And so when people start getting focused on God, his kingdom, his dominion, then everything else is going to be in order. And so that's why you can do surgery with a laser and not with a flashlight. And so when there's focus, you can penetrate, you can accomplish things in life when you're focused. When life is chaotic, then, you know, you're not balanced. But I believe when life gets focused, when life gets focused on God and who he is, then I believe life will come in order. Everything will come in order. Not that it's going to be easy, but the foundation is going to be you being focused on God, seeking him first, then everything else is going to fall into place.
Wonderful, wonderful. And that is so the key. That I believe that is so key in things and staying focused. And then, too, you said, Pastor, which I really greatly appreciate and things, too, is that your favorite scripture is Matthew 6 and 33. And then you stated also about being focused on God and things, and you said his kingdom, God's kingdom, and his dominion and things. And that's profound because there's so many distractions that's going on.
Definitely.
A lot of things, and there's a lot of things that are happening right now in this season throughout the world. And we can get focused on the vicissitudes of life and the things that are going on, but forget about God still yet have that in his dominion and settling in that place with him that he has the dominion, and I'm going to reside and I'm going to sit there and embrace with the dominion that he has at this season in time. Now, well, we're getting ready, getting close to closing in just a few minutes, but it's really been a pleasure and a blessing to have you on the line with me on Today at Home. And one of the things I wanted to also just give you opportunity, if there's anything that is down in your heart that you would like to share with Radio Land or something that God maybe is sharing with you or you want to share. And then after which, if you would pray for those that are there in the Radio Land. And so what I'm going to do at this time is just want to turn it over into your hands and just again want to say I thank God for you. And again, we have Pastor Damon McClendon that is on the line with us here all the way from Seattle, Washington, who is the pastor of Greater New Bethel Missionary Baptist Church here in Seattle. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over into your hands and just let the Lord use you.
Amen. I love the passage in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. That's probably one of my favorite passages. And Paul says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" And I believe that God gives us teachable moments so that we can realize who God is in our lives. Because I believe God is always wanting us to learn something. God has a plan behind every problem, even in the midst of our stress, strain, and struggle. God still wants to produce something in our lives. I often say that every storm is a school, every trial is a teacher, every experience is an education, and every difficulty is for your development. God is more interested in your character than he is your comfort. What happens to you is not nearly as important as what happens in you. But sometimes in those teachable moments, we don't really get it until things become unglued, or until things become, or when life falls apart. That's when sometimes we really get it. Sometimes we are anxious to learn, but not always willing to be taught. And so God gives us teachable moments to realize that if I'm for you, then there's nothing can be against you. We are not usually in a very teachable mood until life sometimes beat us up into an attitude to learn, and then we have a willingness to change. But I know, I realize that this comes with the territory, but usually we're not in a teachable moment until life sometimes beats us up. But I want to tell those out in radio land that God is not an option. God is necessary. And that God is with us, that God is not against us. God is on your side. He is not in cahoots with Satan. I want to tell everybody that God is real. He's not an illusion. He's near. He's not far. Matter of fact, the psalmist says that God is a very present help in the time of trouble. So when Paul says, since God is for us, who can be against us? He's telling us that no matter what you go through, even when you experience those teachable moments, you can realize that God is going to be there to help you. One thing I like about Romans chapter 8 is it's full of celebration. So we can celebrate God. Even in verse 33, we can celebrate that there's no accusation. For the scripture says, who will bring any charge against whom God has chosen? Mm-hmm. It is God who justifies us. So we don't have to worry about being accused, and then also we don't have to worry about being condemned. Verse 34 says, who is he that condemns? Jesus died for us and was raised, and he's sitting at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for us. So you have no accusation, you have no condemnation, and then in verse 35, you have no separation. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Then he lists 8 or 9 things, saying in conclusion that I'm persuaded that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. So you got no accusation, you got no condemnation, you have no separation, and then you can live a life of celebration in verse 37, because it tells us, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be dismayed. I'm not going to be dismantled. I'm not going to be defeated, nor distracted, nor destroyed, because God is on my side. If God is for me, then who can be against me? And so I just want to encourage you that even in the midst of your teachable moments, learn that his grace is still sufficient, even in the midst of your pain and problem. Because I'm going to look to the hills from which cometh my help. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. What a word and things. I tell you, that is just so awesome. Well, did you want to just end too, Pastor? That has just been so such a blessing and things. If you want to just pray and close us out and things, perhaps there may be someone out there in radio land that, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that this word has gone to, and things that you want to pray and just close us out on today. Again, this has been a wonderful opportunity to interview Pastor Dana McClendon from Seattle, Washington. And we encourage you, if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, if you get an opportunity to go and visit his church. Amen. And so we're going to put you back into the hand of Pastor McClendon. He's going to close us out and things with a prayer. And then I will come back and just share as we close out for today's session. And I know you've been tremendously blessed by the word from the man of God on today. Pastor McClendon.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you and we praise you for the privilege of prayer and the power of prayer. We thank you for this opportunity to speak to many in radio land. We pray and speak life into them, those who may not be saved. We pray for their salvation, that Jesus Christ is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And we just pray for all leaders, for we know that there's an attack on leaders and churches in the times that we live in. And so we just speak power and blessing over the lives of pastors and leaders and preachers all over the land. And we pray for churches that they will continue to stand and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray, oh God, that your love will continue to permeate in our lives so that we can demonstrate to the world what love looks like and share that love with one another. And so we pray your power and blessing over us, and we thank you that for every teachable moment you give us is just a process for us to learn more about you and to trust you even in the tough times, because since you are for us, there's nothing or no thing can be against us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor McClendon. We thank God for you and the wonderful work that you're doing here in the Pacific Northwest area there in Seattle, Washington. Truly, we want to say we thank and praise the Lord for each and every one of you that have joined us on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you have been blessed. Remember to take those teachable moments and allow God to birth out great fruit as you stay rooted in him, as the man of God has spoken to us on today. And in my conclusion, as I always would say, child of God, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Again, it's been a tremendous blessing to be in your home on today. And so I pray that God will continue to send a no-sorrow blessing unto you. May the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. Until we meet again, God bless you. Bye-bye.